Amen. Well, I like that. I never heard that either. And I sure do like that. Good to be here this evening and meet him. And I thank you for coming. And it's always a blessing to be here. And it's always hard to start the meeting off. I stand in this place every year, and it's a little hard. I get nervous. I don't know if I'll ever get over that. I think the older I get, the worse I'm getting. I'm honest. I think the older I'm getting, the worse I'm getting. And I think the biggest reason for that is I see our nation caving in, falling apart, and souls going to hell without the Lord, and churches falling apart, and preachers getting run off, and all of that, and we just sometimes get one swing at this thing. You know that? Sometimes just one opportunity to say what needs to be said. I don't know if this is true or not. I heard a fellow up in Michigan say this a few years ago. He said there was a service one Sunday night that they came into, and like everybody else, they just wanted to get it over. I guess you preachers have been in that Sunday night mode, just kind of wanting to get it over and get back to the house. Anybody say amen, Brother Robert, right there? And he said he'd come into the meeting, he just kind of went through the routine and got it over with. I'm in awe to him, sitting in the service that night was a teenage girl that her boyfriend had been arguing with her, wanting her to go all the way with him. She was sitting in the service. A mother that was sitting there that night that her husband was beating her, and she was contemplating suicide. And they just went through the normal routine, nothing special about the meeting. And the girl went out and went all the way with the boy. The mother went home and blowed her brains out. And so let's never take a meeting for granted. Amen. Never take a meeting for granted. I've been trying to pray what the Lord have this evening. I won't preach anything that ever preacher in here has not preached. I won't say anything that you've not heard. I promise you that. I won't say anything that you've never heard. But I've always promised the Lord when I first started preaching, if the Lord would ever call on me to preach, that I'd try to be sober-minded and serious-minded about what I do. And I feel that way this evening. I do. I've been praying what the Lord would have us to say. Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd stand with me, please. Thank you, Brother Robert, for letting us come back tonight. I count you a dear friend. I brag on your meeting across the country. I appreciate the meeting. I appreciate the friends that God's given us in this meeting across the years. And it's so good to come and see some of the same faces. I don't know what you're going through tonight or this evening. I don't. But I know the Lord does. And I do know this. Everybody you meet's having problems today. I don't care who you are. You're having problems. You've got troubles and difficulties. And the Lord knows. He knows what we need. And I want to try this evening to be, I believe this would be the mind of God for my portion in this meeting this hour. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verse number 7, please. I was reading this. I was preaching out near Samoa, North Carolina a couple of years ago, and this came to my heart. Last night, the Lord put it on my heart. I've not had time to study it again the way I'd like to, but I believe it'd be what the Lord would have us to say. Hebrews 11, 7. The Bible said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. And these are little words, the words that I want to use for our text today. Moved with fear, prepared an ark, to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to preach on this thought just a few minutes this evening, on the saving of your house. The saving of your house. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I bow before you. Lord, my heart's filled with fear and trepidation, dear God, right now. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I'm not fearing something in my flesh of my failure. But Lord, I fear that I will not say or fail to say what you would say, Lord, if you were standing here where I'm standing. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help me to speak, God, with power and light and understanding and help, God, to those that's come to this meeting. Lord, folk didn't come, Lord, just to be wasting their time. But Lord, they've come seeking something. And Lord Jesus, I pray, oh God, I pray, dear God in heaven, Lord, that you would look in upon us. I pray the eye of God would look on us. I pray the hand of God would reach toward us, and God would see it and reach back and get a hold of it. And I pray, God, tonight that you would bless every effort of this meeting. Thank you, Brother Robert and his people, every person that comes to it. I pray, God, you'd have your way. Lord Jesus, I do not want to stand here, Lord, and try to preach without knowing, God, that we can preach in the power of God Almighty. I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Now, please help me to speak. Bring to my mind what needs to be said. And, Lord, speak to every heart. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Sometime back, I said I was looking at this verse of Scripture. I've preached on it many times. I'm sure you have. I'll quote again. I won't preach anything that you've not heard before. But this statement really stood out at me, that the Bible said that Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I got thinking about that, to the saving of his house. Without doubt, the most important thing in the world tonight is the family. Amen. Now, I want you to listen closely. Some of y'all would say, well, the most important thing is the church to me, but you really don't mean that. You really don't mean that. Now, I know that sounds good, and I know that sounds right. But when all's said and done, the most important thing to you tonight is your family. Will you agree with that? People stand for family quicker than they'll stand or fall for family quicker than they'll fall for anything. I believe that the greatest desire of my life as I get older and older is to know, be assured that when this life's over for me down here, that I'll see my family yonder in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard for me to preach this evening. The Holy Spirit touched my heart a while ago about this. And my heart was humbled strangely over this. I guess everybody here this evening's got somebody in your family that's lost without God. Somebody out in sin, traveling the road yesterday in prayer room, in the ladies' prayer room. They were a while getting out, and Dorothy talked to me last night, talked about many things that went on in the prayer room and many statements that were made in the prayer room yesterday. I thank God for the family that God's given me on this earth, that we live with and walk with and worship with. And I've got to hurry here, but we want to know that when Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved, that my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, might be saved. I believe that's the greatest desire of any of us tonight. We'll just stop a minute and just kind of back off out, if I don't mean to say this wrongly, but kind of back out of the camp meeting mentality just a minute and look in a very real way that our family is going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell one day after a while. Forever to burn in the regions of the damned without God, or to be saved and live with the Lord Jesus forever. I got thinking about this statement. The Bible said, look in 1 Peter chapter 2 just a minute. I can quote this, but I want you to look at it. 1 Peter chapter number 3 it is. The Bible talked about here, he said, when once sometimes, 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient, but once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. 8 souls. That's amazing. I'm not in a hurry for a minute. I'm just going to coast out a little bit. That's amazing. 8 souls of all the people upon the face of God's earth at that time, however many that was, I don't know, you don't know, but 8 people were saved. That's amazing. All the rest of the world drowned in the flood and went to hell. That's amazing. But you know what's more amazing to me about that than just 8 souls were saved? It was 8 souls in the same family. You stop and think about that a minute. Of all the world, 8 people made it through the flood. All of those 8 people were in one same family. Boy, I got to thinking about that. I got to wondering if there was anything that Noah did
that maybe assured him that his family would get in when time come. And is there anything that you and I can do that may help assure ourselves that when the end of our life and the end of our family's life comes, that we can rest assured that God will get our family in safety in the ark? Let's be honest a minute tonight. Billy Sunday preached all his life, lost his son. It's quiet out there. David lost Absalom. Adam lost one of his, and on and on and on you go down through time. But I got to thinking, is there anything that we can do that would somewhat give us assurance in our heart that God would save our families? Before I get to that, let me say four things, and one of them won't be liked. But let me say four things. I have a deep conviction about what I'm saying. Four things that I would see that every home would be saved from. Every family would be saved from. The first one, I'd love to see them saved from the divorce courts. Now, I'm not being ugly when I say what I'm saying. We have made far, far, far too light over this issue of divorce in our generation. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I don't know nobody's life. I'm just telling you, Jesus talked about that. He was very plain about that, that from the beginning it was not so. He didn't intend for it to be that way. Listen, I would be a happy pastor if I never had to sit in my study or in my home again and look a family in the eyes that's quarreling and ready to go to the divorce courts. Amen. I know it's going to get quiet right there. I'm not trying to hurt nothing, but listen, if somebody don't start crying out against this prevalent sin in our generation, our children are going to be raised not to know the depth of the wrong that's in it. That's going to be one of them evenings. I can see it right now. I don't want to see folk go through it. I've had my share. My mother and father divorced after 36 years of marriage. I've seen families in my church go through it. I've seen mothers weep, a hanky completely wet. You could wring water out of it, going through divorces. I've seen children go out to the world because they had no mother and no father. I don't want to ever see one parent and one couple. I would love to see every home saved from the divorce court. I won't stop a minute. I just feel I don't know why I'm on this evening, but if you're in that condition, only God knows what's going on here. But if you're in that condition this evening, may I tell you there is hope for you. There's a God in heaven. If you would just submit your heart to Him and get right with Him and come clean with Him, friend, God would help your home. Are you listening at me out there? Can I get an amen? We don't have to be ashamed of what I'm saying. Friend, the Lord gave us specific guidelines about that family. May I say, secondly, I don't want to see any home go through, be affected. I want to see it saved from the depraved culture of our generation. The godless activity that was in Noah's day, God saw it was a depraved society. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his heart was on the evil continually. It was a dangerous society. The earth was filled with violence. It was a decaying society. God said it was corrupt before God. Oh, friend, I don't want to get plugged into that because I want to go somewhere else in a minute. But I'm telling you, this is a godless, wicked generation that you and I are living in. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. Friend, sin's on every corner. Sin's in the church house. Sin's in the White House. Sin's in every place in America. I'm telling you, you better be sure to try to keep your children out of that godless, wicked world that they get saved, unless they go to hell from that generation. The godless activity, God's actions in that day, Noah's day. I'm coming to what I want to say very quickly. God's actions. God saw their wickedness. Bible said God saw the wickedness of men. God had his eyes on it. God saw the wickedness of men. You believe God sees what's going on today? God sorrowed over their wickedness. It grieved God at his heart and repented him. God sentenced their wickedness. God appointed a day 120 years away. That day was appointed, it was approaching. God moved it to 7 days. That day finally arrived. God said, come into the ark. It was appointed. If you and I are not careful, I know this ain't getting too far. If you and I are not careful, a generation that looks at a prediction that looks like it's way out there, 120 year, that far off reaching prophecy will be taken as though it means never. That day was appointed. That day was approaching. It went from 120 years to God said, yes, 7 days. And they kept living just like nothing was going to happen. Then that day arrived. God said, come into the ark, Noah. You and your family. You and your family. I'm still going somewhere. That day finally arrived. All days arrived, friend. I've heard this statement. I don't mean to be ugly and I don't mean to disagree with anybody here. If you disagree with me, then that's fine. I'm not going to shoot a rock at, throw a rock at you. But I've heard everybody say that the day the last soul's birthed into the body of Christ, the rapture will come. The Lord will take us all out of here. The day the last soul's birthed into the body of Christ. I don't know if you can prove that the Bible or not. It's all quiet out there. I don't know if you can prove that the Bible or not. God told Noah to come in. God put Noah in the ark and left the door open 7 days. I don't know how many days God may still plead with humanity when the last soul gets in. I know this, it's not God's will that any perish. It's not God's will that any go to hell. God wants everybody saved. I don't want to steal on a little bit of the introduction here, but I'd like to see every home saved from the divorce courts, the depraved cults, from the damnable cults. Now, I don't want to say a lot about that. We're getting swept up everywhere around us in these old cults. Wicked, ungodly, believing doctrines all around us. Deceivable, damnable heresies. Denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Denying His Savior. Denying Him as Lord. I've seen people get swept up in that mess. Then I don't want to see none ever home. I want to see it saved from the dreadful condemnation. I got a thing about this recently, and then I'll come to my text. I don't know where I'm going here, but I got thinking about how many people that heard Noah preach about the ark. They were just listeners. Help me, Lord, please help me, Jesus. They were just listeners. They heard every day they heard Noah preach a little bit about the ark. Just listeners. I ain't got time to develop that. I believe everybody does that. A lot of people does that every Sunday. Now, there were only those that heard Noah preach about the ark, the listeners. There were those that saw Noah preparing the ark, the lookers. They watched him. They watched him. Didn't believe a word he was saying. Sat there with families, moms and dads and their little children sat there and they listened and they looked. There were those that saw Noah actually pass into the ark, the loafers. Just sat and watched it all. Still didn't believe none of it was going to happen just like he said it would. But one day, that flood came, just as it had been predicted for 120 years. And the most amazing thing to me is that 8 people out of 1 family. I wish God would smite your heart with the bigness of that. Why wasn't it 8 people out of 8 families? Why didn't God see one in this family, one in that family, one in that family maybe, one in that family, one in this family? Why'd God choose 1 family of all the people on the earth, 1 family? Do you believe God wants to save your house? Do you really believe that? I've been praying for my daddy. I've been praying for my daddy for 33 years. He'd get saved. He's still meaner than the devil. But I've claimed the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my daddy. I believe He died for my daddy. You really believe that the Lord will save your house? He saved Rahab's house. He saved Abraham's house. He saved Noah's house. Listen to this. If I understand my Bible, Noah was the savior of his family. Bible said Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah saved his house. You disagree with this, but you'll not find nowhere in the Bible that anybody ever laid a hand on that ark but Noah. You can assume his boys helped him. Maybe they did. But nowhere in the Bible do you ever find that anybody got involved with the construction of that ark save Noah. Stay with me here a minute. If I understand my Bible, God told Noah that He was going to destroy the earth before he ever had his first son. I heard the quietness. Y'all didn't agree with that. I better show you that or you're going to think I'm preaching a lie. Look at Genesis a minute. From the day that God told Noah He was going to destroy the earth, He didn't even have a family. I know that strikes you a little odd right there. I ain't tell looking at you. He didn't even have a family. He never even had a boy. He made up His mind from that day, my family is not going to go down the world and be lost when judgment comes. Look in Genesis 6 a minute. You know the verse, verse 3. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You'll agree that that 120 years deals with the judgment of God that's coming in 120 years. You agree with that? Go back to chapter number 5. Look at verse number 32. And Noah was 500 years old. Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth at 500. Go to chapter 7. Chapter number 7, look at verse number 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters upon the earth. Alright? He had his first son at 500. 100 years later, the waters upon the earth. That pushes God telling Noah about the flood of 120 years, 20 years before he ever had his first child. You say, I don't see it. Let me show you something else. I can find it real quickly. Look in chapter number 11. Chapter 11, verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad. When? 2 years after the flood. Shem was only 98 years old when he come off the ark. He had built on the ark 120 years. God told Noah at least 20 years before Shem was ever born, judgment coming. And from the day that God told Noah judgment's coming, Noah made up his mind, I'm getting between God and my family. I'm getting between judgment and any children that's ever going to be born. You better not wait till they're 25 to start winning them to God. You better get between them and the judgment of God from the day they're born. Y'all listen to me? Well, ain't got the message yet. Oh, it ain't too late to get between you and between your children. Can you see my truth there? God told him it's going to be 120 years. He had his first child at 500. The flood was on the earth when he was 600. He come out of the ark at 601. 20 years before that. Did you get a hold of this? Y'all with me? Brother Robert, when he held Japheth, was the oldest boy. Shem was the youngest probably. Japheth, the Bible tells us plainly, Jacob was the oldest. When he held Japheth in his arms when he was first born, he'd done manure working on that ark for 20 years. He looked at that little boy. He said, if there's ever a reason for me to live for God, it's that little boy. One day he held another one. He said, now I've got two big reasons to live for God. Then he had Shem, and he said, I've got three big reasons now to live for God. Who cares about the world of the ungodly? Judgment's coming. I got to get my children in this boat. Let me show you. Can I show you something else real quickly? Look in 2 Peter just a minute. 2 Peter chapter 2, I think it is. Verse 5. Oh, Lord, ain't going to get done. Verse 5. And spare not, 2 Peter 2, 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person. I'll come back to that verse. Wait a minute. Noah and the eighth person. Noah's not the eighth person. Noah's the tenth person from Adam. Why did God say Noah's the eighth person when Noah's actually the tenth person in the ancestral line of Adam? I thought a lot about that, and I can't come up but with one reason. He said he saved Noah, the eighth person that he saved. You know what he said? Can I borrow you, Brother Barry? He said, Japheth, you, of course, your wife's not here with you. He said, Jacob, Japheth, I am not going into the ark until you go.
Amen, brother.
He said, Ham, you and Mrs. Ham, come here, please. He said, Mr. Ham, Mrs. Ham, I am not going into the ark until I see y'all go in. And then he said, come here. Brother Shem, come here, Brother Shem. You and Mrs. Shem. Are y'all listening to me? He said he's the eighth person that got saved in the ark. You know what he did? He said, if my family ain't going to go in, I ain't going neither. I'm going to be sure they're in before I get in. He looked at him and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then he said, come here. Come here. Mrs. Noah, I'm thinking of my wife, please. Come here, Mrs. Noah. He said, there's just one more. Would you go on in? Then he looked at him. He must have said, oh, who cares if the rest of the world's wicked and ungodly? Who cares about the sin of the world? He looked at his family and he said, what a blessed man that I am. Amen. Judgment's coming. All of my family are in the ark. Praise God. I believe while the judgment waters, beat on the outside of the ark, I believe old Noah said, dear God, it's been a long journey. We started out without any children 120 years ago. We went to building that ark. Here we are, God, all my family, saved, 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 safe, safe, saved in the ark of God. Hey, friend, who cares about that world when you look at it like this? Thank you.
Do you reckon at that moment he really cared about all the mockery? You reckon he did, Brother Robert? No, I'll tell you what he did. If anything, he didn't weep over hurt feelings. He looked at a world that just got plunged into eternity without the Lord. And he felt sorry for them. When I look at this thing, from my old carnal mind, I get my feelings hurt. But when I look at it at the end of the road, me and my family are going to stand yonder with the Lord Jesus, saved and safe. Who cares? I don't know about you, but I just got to stop a second right there. Who really cares? I believe when the Bible said, save Noah, the eighth person, I believe Noah was the last one to go into that boat. How could you ever think about going to heaven without your family? I ain't even got the message yet. How could you ever think of going to heaven without your family? The eighth person. Let me say three things. I'll not say a lot about them. My time's getting away. Three things that I see about Noah. One's more of a God's part, I suppose you'd say, but three things, let me say real quickly, that I find about Noah that got his family in the ark. One, Noah found grace. Look over in Genesis, you know the story. Genesis 6, verse 8. The Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me say, number one, grace supplied for Noah and his house. It supplied the plans for Noah to follow. God said, Noah, judgment's coming. Build your ark. Here's you the shape. Here's you the size. You don't have to figure nothing out. Get quiet now. Just take the plans that I gave you. Just abide by the plan. Go about what I told you to do. Oh, somebody said it's hard. Well, it is. I'm glad we got a plan, thank God. God told us how to guide and rule and regulate our families. We just submit to that. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Supper's at, what, 7:30? Is that right? That's what I thought. Praise God. 7:30. Go by the plans. Well, I got a hold of this thing lately in my mind. I ain't done with it yet. Been wanting to preach on it. But this thought, I can't even express it the way it's in my heart. But if I can say this the way it's come to my mind, listen to me. If we would submit to the Lord Jesus the way the Lord Jesus submitted to His Father, the Lord Jesus would do for us what the Father did for the Lord Jesus. I believe y'all missed that. If we would just submit to and be before the Lord Jesus what the Lord Jesus was before His Father, the Lord Jesus would do for us what the Father did for the Lord Jesus. You've got a plan book. The shape, the size, the structure, the stories. God told Abraham, God told Noah everything he needed to know about how to build that ark. Grace not only supplied the plans, grace supplied the provisions. It furnished the timber. It furnished the pitch.
God gave everything he needed to build that ark. I know I'm getting so first stretched out here, I could get to any of this, you could preach an hour on. But listen to me, God's freely given us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that pertain to life and God? God's give you everything you need. We're all the time hunting for something else. Why don't you just take what you need, what you got? Use the book you got. We could preach there, but let's move on. Grace supplied the perception. God gave him the know-how. God gave him the patience. Grace supplied everything Noah needed. Do you think God's left anything out of your home that you don't need? Not only grace supplied for him, grace saved him. Grace saved him. I don't have to preach a lot there, but it was grace got him in. Get your family under the grace of God. Got a man there at church, he said the other night, he said, I can't come to prayer meeting. My little boy, starting back to school, 6-year-old, can't come to prayer meeting. God give you a church. God, listen, God supplied you with the presence, his presence to comfort us, his promises to cheer us, his precepts to correct us, his place, the church, to charge us, and his preachers to counsel us. What else could you need? Listen to me. You listen to me. If you lose your family, most of the time, let me just repeat that, all of the time, it's not that God did not give us what we need. Most time we do not implement. Now with that said, we know that there's people raised in right home. My wife and I was talking come over here today about a little girl in our church. Long story, but we said this. I said this to her. I said, you know, even in the best home in America, there's some children still going to go wrong. But you know this as well as I do, and it needs restating. They sure have a better hope. They have a godly mother and a godly daddy and some principles. You've got to be in here at so-and-so time, and you can do this, and you can't do that, and you can call it do's and don'ts. I call it biblical standards myself. Preacher friend of mine's boy is about 7-year-old. He went down to school, and the school kind of jumped on him for carrying his Bible. He went home and studied him out a little Bible lesson out of Isaiah 53 on the Savior. Went back to the school, and he asked his daddy, he said, Daddy, I'm going to go tomorrow. This was his words, him 7-year-old. He said, I'm going to give him a biblical exegesis on Isaiah 53. Amen. Yeah, I said, hallelujah to God myself. I said, thank God. You better put something in their mind and in their heart while they're young and they're little that'll help keep them when they get out there in the world. Amen. Grace supplied him. Grace saved him. Grace secured him. Shut him in. You know, there's a wonderful thing. I believe eternal security. I preached 18 weeks at our church on the security of the believer. The wonderful thing, thank God, when you get them in, God will shut them in. Amen. God secured him. God put him in the ark. God shut the door. God sealed him in. Listen, they were as safe in that ark as the hand of God could make them. They could not get out of that ark unless they pried God's hand off the doorknob. Get them in, praise God. A lot of things could be said there, but grace sheltered him. When the waters come, the lightning come, the flood came, you know what happened? The ark felt it. They never felt a thing inside. Well, I'm glad our Lord Jesus Christ bore the full punishment of the wrath of God, but I never felt a thing. Get them in. I'm going to say secondly and real hurriedly, I'm just kind of highlighting this. Not only Noah found grace, but secondly, Noah followed God. He followed God in his walk. Look back in Genesis 6. You preach this. It just needs to be. Sometime back, can I confess something? Y'all can keep a secret, can't you? I believe all you, every one of y'all could tell. Now tell this on me now. I bet it don't make it to the hallway. Sometime back, I took it all for granted. Took all of that standards and walking and straight living. I took it all for granted. Little things I found myself that had stood strong on for years. I'm not talking about sinning now. I'm talking about just little things. Noah walked with God. Bible said he walked with God. He walked in the favor of God. I'm just trying to scan this a little bit. He walked in the fear of God. Noah moved with fear. He said, God said something here and I believe it. Judgment's going to come. He walked in favor. He walked in fear, but he walked in faith. Been warned of God, Noah, by faith. I want you to listen to this statement. We're coming in a time, friend, that this feeling business is just about going to burn out. We've got up and worked camp meetings and worked church services and tried to get everybody hoopy, holler, shouty, 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 and walked out in the hall. Before they get in the car, they're down again. I've been through some things in the last few years. They weren't no feelings that kept me going. If I'd done what my feelings wanted, I'd have whooped a half a dozen. I'd have stuck my throat fist so far down their throat, they would have had to have a tonsillectomy to got my fist back. And that's spiritual, son. Don't you doubt it. But I've been warned of God that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, I move with fear. I move with faith that my labor's not in vain in the Lord. Oh, in the church and the preachers and the eyes of the world, it may be in vain. Devil ever get a hold of your mind and say it's just useless? There's no hope? Why do you keep doing what you're doing? Year after year, day after day, get up in the morning, put on a clean pair of overalls and go back and drive some more nails. Of course, there wasn't no nails. Hew some more logs and put in a little more pitch and preach a little bit. Get up the next morning, start it all over again. Y'all with me? 120 years. You think you've been rough pastoring 1820. Try having nobody saved in 120 years. I know what most of us would say, God, I think it's about time now. Lord, you're wanting to move me, aren't you? God said, but there's this one thing I want you to understand, Noah, if I move you over yonder to another place, judgment's coming over there too. I don't care if you move you to California. Judgment's going to come out there too. Or maybe I'll be a missionary and go down into Brazil. Well, judgment's coming down there too. So, Mr. Noah, the best thing you can do is just stay where you're at. Keep building on your boat. Keep moving and walking by fear and walking in faith and walking in the favor of God, because judgment's coming on the whole earth. Noah walked with God, but Noah worked for God. He was accurate in his details. I usually, when I preach, I take time to show you this in the Bible, but I'm not doing it tonight. I'm just kind of giving it to you. He was accurate in his details. And listen at me closely. I think one thing that's killed our churches is we've left to be meticulous with details. We've got a man in our church in Malaysia. He's been over there for 25 years, a missionary out of our church. One of the most godly men I've ever been around. Brother, I'm telling you. Brother Steve Burke. Anybody here support Brother Burke?
How many pastors we got? I'd like for you to see a port, Brother Berg. We just established another church over there at Ipo. Voted on it Wednesday night. Got another church out of our church in Malaysia. A solid, fundamental, Bible-believing church in Ipo, Malaysia. I asked him a few years ago, I said, Brother Berg, let me ask you something. I said, how do you get God on your life like you got it? He's a quiet man. He's a cripple. He had polio when he was a kid, and he walks like this. Nothing flowery about him. Nothing flashy about him. Nothing stands out about him. He'd walk in here, wouldn't nobody say, there's a man I'm going to preach today. Nothing marked about him in himself. I said, Brother Burke, how do you get God on your life? Was eating eggs. And he said, preacher, you give heed to detail. He said, you don't let them little things that other people let slip. You don't let them slip. What if Noah said, out of that old pitch thing? I don't care much about that detail. I'm so sick of this haphazard hit or miss. Do it my way if it strikes me good. If it suits me, if it feels good. God said that God, that Noah did A-L-L. All things that God had commanded him. Noah said it ain't a choice. Living for God's not a choice. It's a command. He was meticulous with details. Can I say something? Y'all might be my last ear here now when I say this. I've watched this cross country, Brother Joe. I watch the preachers that preaches in the meetings a lot of times. They're the guys that go that extra detail. They'll polish themselves and keep themselves and handle themselves right and just give heed to details. You know what? You know where you miss it in your home? You know why the children sometimes go to hell? It's them details. It ain't that you don't take them to church on Sunday. And Sunday night and prayer meeting, maybe revival meeting. It's them details around the house. Listen to this. Do you know why Noah felt the fashion of the ark was so important? Because he understood the function of the ark. You'll never be accurate in details with the fashion till you understand the function. Would you just bear with me a minute? I don't want to show it to you. I don't want to take time to give it. But I'll say this. What God tell Noah was the function of the ark? First, he said it's going to save you and your family. But that wasn't all he said. He said it's going to preserve seed. And do you know whose seed was being preserved? His own grandchildren. That ark wasn't just saving him and his house. Within the lawns of his boys was his grandchildren. Do you know you've been meticulous with details might only save you? It'll save your house. That'll pass on down to your grandchildren. You'll preserve seed even in your grandchildren by giving heed to details today. Oh, Lord. I'm afraid that's a big, we'll miss it. You'll never understand the fashion of something till you understand the function of it. Listen to this. Sometimes doing something has got matters of life and death. That's important. But when it's got to do with matters of eternity, it's even more important. I'm about done here in a few minutes. I'll just kind of scan this real lightly. But back in the Desert Storm, back in 1991, my wife's brother-in-law was over there,
And they taught him, Brother Robert, they taught him how to put on a gas mask and taste, Brother Rackley, in case of bio, some kind of chemical warfare or gas or something. They taught him how to put that mask on to be sure that they were taken care of. He said it was all funny. They'd tell him and they'd laugh with it, and it was a joke, and it was, you know, it was just kind of a joke. All it was just a joke. And they give him so many seconds to get it on, and then they'd say, you didn't get it on time. It was a joke. It was just trial. But one day the siren went off, and he come across the siren and said, this is no trial. There's gas detected in the air. Perry said that day, getting it on right wasn't a joke. You take your Christian life as a joke. One day you're going to wake up and realize this is a trial run, but we're going to face judgment after a while. A boy back home, right where you get off the highway to go to my wife's family's old home place. The highest bridge in the state of Virginia is right where you turn off the end of the ramp to go to her home place. I knew this boy's daddy. His name was, I won't get the name, it's probably on CD. I knew the boy's daddy. We grew up together. This boy come out of high school, 19-year-old. He got him a job working on that bridge. I forget how many feet up from the ground, 300 or 400 feet off of the ground that bridge is. He got it. He was a cut up. A boy that liked to joke and cut up. They taught him how to hook those harnesses. That when he was working on the bridge, in case he fell, those harnesses would catch him. He liked to joke and cut up. Everything was a joke to him. Real likable old boy. Didn't pay much heed to all of that warning. One day he hooked himself up. Swung out over the bridge. But he had the strap hooked wrong. It come loose. Fell 300 and something feet to his death. Oh, the bridge is named after him. That bridge bears his name today. But he's dead. It was all a joke when somebody was trying to warn him of the judgment that was coming. If you didn't give heed to details. Noah said, everything God's told me, every detail about this boat is important. It's going to save my family. You go ahead and bypass them little details. They're not important. The day will come you'll look back and wish you'd dotted the I's and crossed the T's. Oh, I'm not trying to hear a fuss at anybody. I'm trying to get your family in the boat. I've watched it. I've pastored for 30 plus years. I watch these folk that start letting up on this and letting up on that and letting up on this, and that's not really that important, and this is not really that important, and three services a week don't really be that bad, and I can get by with two, maybe one if I do pretty good the rest of the week. And you'll start X-ing this out and crossing that off and letting that go and letting that slip. Then one day you look up at your little children and you've slipped, and they've slipped further than you ever slipped. Let me just finish with this and I'm done. Noah found grace. Noah followed God. Number three, Noah favored godliness. Bible said, in thee I've seen righteous. He practiced righteousness. They're not going to get in the boat when they see you living every worldly way in the world. God said, I've looked at you, Noah. I've seen you righteous in your generation.
Is the Bible didn't tell us, did not the Bible tell us that the last days would be like the days of Noah? I wonder how many families will go to hell because they won't find grace and follow God and favor godliness in their life. Not only did he practice righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5 said he preached righteousness. He preached it. I saw a woman during one of them tornadoes that went through 2 years ago. I'm about done. I'm trying to close. I saw a woman that she was standing. She was crying. She was hugging her child. She was uncontrollably weeping, holding and hugging her big old overgrown girl. And they said to her something like, "Aren't you sad for all you lost?" And she said, "Normally I would." She said, "But yesterday I thought my daughter was dead. But today I found out she's alive." And all the rest of that don't mean nothing now that I know my daughter's alive. Who cares about it all? When we look back, and this earth is burning with fire, and the heavens are melting with fervent heat. Nothing to hide nowhere from nothing. There stands Mama, and Daddy, and the little youngins, and sisters and brothers. Oh, I wonder if the song we won't sing, I wonder if it might be something like this. "Then we'll be glad we live for Jesus." What difference does it make this evening? Let them cuss. Let them persecute. You do everything in your power to have one goal in your mind. I promise I'll say this and I'm done. You ever heard this statement? "There ain't nothing God ever gives you, you can take to heaven with you." That ain't true. The only thing God ever gives you, you can take to heaven with you, is your children. Everything else is going to be left here. Them two little girls. I remember this singing here, "Your Four Lives," and that little girl of yours got blessed. I seen Daddy crying. I wanted to preach a lot of things today. I wrestled with two or three other things. Had another message burning in my heart. The Holy Ghost just kept saying, "Preach on. Noah saved his house." Would you be your house's Savior today? Would you say, "God, if they go to hell, they're going over me"? Amen, brother. Amen, brother. I told God a lot of years ago, someone come to the pen, I'm done. When I started preaching, I took my cousin, Hills of Thornhill, Tennessee, and buried him. Dope smoker, wicked boy. He got killed in a beer joint fight and got shot with a double barrel shotgun. I remember I just started preaching. I said, "God, I can't never get R.D. out of hell. If you'll help me, I'm going to throw myself right down in front of the rest of my family and try to win them to the Lord." We come in here this evening, and we shout, and we hoop, and we holler, and we work the beat, and everybody gets way up yonder somewhere. And then we stand in judgment some morning and see all our family go to hell. What'd all that shouting do for us? Don't get mad at the preacher. You better concentrate every effort you got on getting that family in. Let's stand and bow to pray. You may need to come to the altar.
saving of your house. Oh, come on. Oh, God. Oh, God. The saving of your house. Do you not have somebody? Praise the Lord. Do you not have somebody? Mother, daddy, sister, brother, child or grandchild. Eight souls were saved, all in one family. Help me to give heed to details. Help me to keep doing this the way you told me to do it. We've tried entertainment, contemporary business. We better stay on the path God put us on. It's the sure and tried path. Have you not someone in your family needs the Lord? Oh, I believe it was the last in the go of the ark. He saw to it his family was saved before he went in.